This is Paul Davey, Yield Point Specialist for Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Good morning. I'm Don Wick. Along with Randy Conan in studio, we'll have updates from Whitney Pittman and Tyler Donaldson, too. Today is the last trading day of the week, the month, and the quarter. Traders will have a little over an hour of trading after the prospective plantings and quarterly grain stocks are report. Those reports are released today. The range of trade guesses for corn acreage goes from 90 to 93.4 million. The range of trade expectations on soybeans from 83.3 to 88 million acres. And the all wheat category, a tighter range, 47.3 million to 49 million acres.
Those USDA reports come out at 11 o'clock. NAU Country Vice President of Farm Services, Rich Morrison, is expecting less corn and more soybean acres.
I've been using 92 million corn acres all winter long. I think that, and that's slightly higher than the average trade guess, but I still think that we got a lot of work done last fall to plant corn acres this year, and guys just generally like planting corn. So I think through the heart of the Corn Belt, we're going to not switch many acres to beans.
But Morrison says there are other areas of the country that will see a switch in acres.
I do think in some areas, especially where we've got some new soybean crushing facilities coming online, like where you're at, I think that we're probably going to see a few more bean acres and probably less wheat in some areas. And I do think down in the deep south, we're probably going to see more cotton acres, and especially with what the market's done over the last month or so.
Van On and Company market analyst Christy Van On says the grain market felt as if traders didn't want to take a position ahead of the USDA reports.
So overall, the news is limited. There was a brief moment we were getting some news that maybe it was too wet in Argentina, and now you're coming in here and kind of evening out some things, and I just don't think it's that much of a concern. So overall, we're lacking news, and I feel like this market kind of just wanted to step away until they can see the numbers.
NDSU hosted a soybean symposium yesterday. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has more.
North Dakota Soybean Council Executive Director Stephanie Sinner provided an update during the symposium discussing what she expects to see in the field this summer and gave an overview of crush facilities in the state.
Looking ahead to 2024, we're all kind of getting spring fever here. The recent storm kind of helped tap that down a little, but really looking for a positive crop again this year, probably north of that 6.2 million acres. Lots of opportunity for our soybean producers here in the state. Of course, our exports remain strong for whole beans, and then with the crushing plants coming online, new market opportunities there as well. So I think we're looking at another good year for soybean production going into 2024.
And, of course, crush facilities in North Dakota are a big deal right now. Heavy conversation on that. You just kind of provided a bit of an update on those three, at least announced and some underway already. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, always excited when there are new market channel opportunities in the state for our producers. So we continue to produce a strong crop, and we continue to produce a high-quality crop that's in demand in a lot of markets around the world. We'll still have that whole bean export market. Still going to be a big piece of our portfolio. As the meal starts to get produced, we will look to export markets to pick up a lot of that. We will hopefully see North Dakota's livestock industry grow over time and consume a little bit more of that here in state as well as regionally, but those export markets are still going to be key for us here in North Dakota. So we do a lot of work with meal. We hosted a lot of meal buyers last year in anticipation of the plants coming online, and so they're excited to be able to look to North Dakota and the PNW as a source of whole beans and soybean meal.
All right. Anything else just in general to touch on or include before we let you go?
I think it's just so exciting to see we get farmer input to the researchers so that the researchers are working on real-world problems and challenges that our producers face, and the checkoff coming together to support those solutions. And today's just proof of that all working really well for a successful crop in the state.
Thank you so much for taking the time again, Stephanie Sinner, joining us on the Red River Farm Network.
A Grand Forks company, Northdale Oil, is underwriting a feasibility study for a biodiesel plant. AgWeek is reporting the proposed Grand Forks plant will buy soybean or canola oil from a crusher rather than crushing the product itself. North Dakota Oil would begin with a capacity of 1.2 million gallons per year, with plans to expand to 5 million. If the project moves forward, construction would begin this fall or winter. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Well, despite this week's snow, there are a lot of bare fields in the region. Pioneer District Sales Lead Jesse Mox says the combination of strong winds and warmer weather in the forecast will allow farmers to begin field activity soon.
You know, we're really looking probably 2 weeks out from guys really starting to just start getting in the field. We've seen our frost is a long ways out. There's a little bit left, but not too much. You know, as far as planting goes, I wouldn't be shocked, you know, to see some corn and or beans, you know, going in, you know, April 20th to the 25th, if the conditions allow that.
Acreage decisions are still being made.
See, North Dakota is a lot different than the I states. We still are debating crop rotation up to the minute we plant, but corn sales have held on pretty strong, even in the face of they're predicting to be more beans. So we're seeing corn actually hold on pretty strong. Soybeans are holding. Sunflowers, of course, have dropped off pretty significantly, and that's just due to market prices. If you were to ask me today, I think the corn's going to be a little bit stronger than the market's expecting, at least for up here.
Controlling weeds can be difficult, and it relies on a lot of different things. NDSU weed scientist Joe Eichley provided an update during the NDSU Soybean Symposium, highlighting the need to be creative in weed management.
When we think about weed control, everyone's looking for a silver bullet. Is something that we often hear. And so that basically means they want one product to control all their weeds. And that's just really not the case of how it's going to work. And for weed control, the tagline I ended up using is, use a silver bullet to kill werewolves, not weeds. And so then what we decided to do, or I decided to do, I guess, is to go through and show a case study on glyphosate, which is what everyone has thought for a while was the silver bullet. At least in the mid-90s, that's what we were hoping. Because that's a product that you spray and you can control most of your weeds. Certainly that was the case in the mid-90s. And just showed that basically from the first time we made that application, we have lost control on weeds. So basically on an annual basis after that point.
New technologies in the last 5 to 10 years are helping.
Looking at things like 2,4-D and the Enlist soybean, dicamba, so Extend or Ingenia and the Extend soybean, glufosinate or Liberty. So looking at how those products have worked in a somewhat similar fashion. So knowing that when they came to market, get a lot of use because they're very effective tools. But basically, we don't see complete weed control any year from those products. And variability is increasing as well the more we spray those. And so that was kind of the main messaging there of that these post-emergence chemistries are very good for our weeds. But if we just rely on those, we end up losing efficacy and we will get resistance at some point as well.
StoneX Vice President of Fertilizer Josh Linville is reporting industry challenges in getting product to where it needed to be this spring, especially for phosphate and UAN. A huge fall run for phosphate emptied the pipeline, and there's been very little time to refill. Production issues and an early start to spring are an issue for UAN. Linville says potash, phosphate, and anhydrous ammonia markets are expected to slow down as soon as planting starts.
Iowa Soybean Association Demand and Advocacy Chief Officer Matt Herman served as keynote speaker at the Soybean Symposium yesterday. He said the EPA's multi-year renewable fuel standard is still having an effect on the renewable diesel market.
From about 2012 to 2022, EPA set volumes, mandated volumes for these biofuels on an annual basis. That was kind of a pain for the industry because it didn't provide us much long-term certainty to do investment. So when we found out in 2022 that they were going to issue us our first three-year multi-year rule, we're like, great, this is going to give us certainty to build this market out. While they were working on that rule, COVID hit, and a number of these refiners, oil refiners, decided that with flagging gasoline demand and just changing global consumption of petroleum, they were going to take the opportunity to convert these refineries to renewable diesel. But that was going to require us to crush a whole lot more beans to make that oil available for these facilities.
The targets didn't hit expectations, leaving some crush facilities in limbo. Plants may have to find other ways to remain viable.
So while the market was, you know, somewhat naturally expanding, EPA at the same time set these volume targets for the next 3 years far below what the industry was actually planning to expand to. So now we're in this situation where crush is coming online, renewable diesel is coming online, but the federal demand for the credits that's generated from this fuel just isn't quite there. So that's where we're going to have to see these plants really get creative if they want to continue to be financially viable and compete in the export markets and maybe compete in some of these other markets that, you know, maybe aren't financially as attractive, but still helps them keep that plant running.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Soybean yields across North Dakota fall below the national average, and some NDSU researchers are taking aim at closing that gap. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
NDSU master's student Forrest Hansen is one of the researchers hard at work trying to combat plateauing North Dakota soybean yields. According to Hansen, this reduced rate of increasing yields is part of the reason why North Dakota is behind other parts of the country in soybean yield averages.
When you look at yield data across North Dakota, our yields are a lot lower than these other states, especially compared to Illinois, Iowa, all these states that have optimal growing conditions for soybean in lower latitude regions. What we found is that the rate of yield improvement over time from our first release variety to now, we're seeing kind of a more steady state increase rather than an exponential increase.
Expanding the genetic varieties of soybeans in the area could help with better yields as well as introducing other beneficial traits to soybean crops.
And ultimately, a lot of our cultivars that we've put out end up being very genetically similar to one another. And that explains a lot of the reason why our yields might be plateauing at the rate that they are, because you cannot expect a random yield improvement for these cultivars when genetically they're very similar. So to combat this, we've been working on another project of introducing new germplasm from other maturity groups, other states that have not only improved yield traits, but other agronomic traits. But we've been working on introducing dicamba tolerance. But then we've also been working with other states of bringing in yield traits. And also, we've brought in stuff that has drought tolerance. So we're hoping to integrate those traits into our own germplasm, get them adapted to our climates so they can be produced in our state and have higher yields with drought tolerance. So the majority of farmers that buy NDSU seed will be able to produce those in the western part of the state.
That was NDSU master's student Forrest Hansen. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Checking markets, of course, crop report day, and as we speak, a very quiet market, marking time ahead of those numbers coming out at 11 o'clock, prospective plantings and stocks. We have Minneapolis wheat, May, a quarter penny higher, 651 and a quarter. Chicago wheat, unchanged for May. The hard red winter wheat, May, down 0.75 cents. May corn, a quarter penny higher. The new crop contract, steady. May soybeans, down 3.75 cents at 11.88 3/4. New crop soybeans down by 3.5 cents. On the farm calendar, there is an irrigators clinic going on today in Alexandria. That starts at 9 o'clock this morning with registration. NDSU Extension hosting programs on grazing technologies, precision agriculture for the livestock producer. There's a session at 1 o'clock today in Valley City at the Eagles, and coming up on Tuesday in Monocan. Also, as we look into the farm calendar, the Minnesota Bison Association has its spring conference in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. The date's April 5th through the 7th. That's coming up next weekend. Have a great day. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.